Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. I am so sorry. This is Joanne Barton. This is Applause Radio Show, and we have our guest tonight, John Bell from Z100. And I don't know what's going on. I'm not going to lie, John. I don't know what the hell's going on. I set us up for 8:30.
I think Z100 fired me again.
Oh, no, never. Anyway, before we got cut off, I apologize. The power went out, and then I was having issues with the studio. And actually, you know what might have happened today, John? They turned my studio upside down today. They took everything out, and then it started downpouring. So everything, I am sitting in a little hole here right now to talk to you. So I don't know if they hit something or what. I don't know, but I am so sorry. Oh, God. Anyway, folks, we were talking about how John, you know, was there from the beginning when Z100 on the East Coast in New York City started, and how much I loved the show. And I know so many people loved it when it first started, and they probably still do love it to this day. I just don't listen, but no particular reason. I just don't. But I do remember when John was there, he was a breath of fresh air all the monotony that was going on in the mornings. And one day I turned it on and I didn't hear from him anymore. So we were talking about how he went and found out that he no longer worked there. So go ahead, John. You were sitting with a bunch of folks, and they handed you your retirement package.
Yeah. It was very, very sudden. I had no notice at all, and I think that disturbed me a little bit, because I thought, after all the time I had given to the radio station, 28 years. That
right.
They could have at least said, well, John, we're looking at retiring you or something. You know, I had been there a long time. It would not have been a shock if they had said it's time to go.
Right. We're thinking about going in another direction or something. You know,
how about
in a couple weeks, you know, we start, you know, dwindling off or something, you know.
Exactly. That would have been the smooth way to do it. But
right.
As you know, Joanne, radio doesn't always do things the smooth way. I wasn't the first person who was on a radio show that the next day people tuned in and that person was gone.
Right, but they didn't say anything. Did they ever say anything? Because like I said, I don't know if I missed an episode that day. Maybe I was off. I didn't have my Walkman on, whatever. But
I think there was an announcement of some sort. I don't know whether, because I was retired on a Friday. So over the weekend, there may have been some announcements, and I think probably early Monday morning when they signed on, I'm sure there was something. But as I recall, it was pretty sudden, and all of a sudden I was gone. I wasn't even allowed to go back to my office. They escort you out of the building.
You couldn't
in those
get your
days.
Stuff? I mean, my God, it wasn't like you did something wrong and, you know, like, get the hell
not
out of
all.
Jeez.
Not at
wow.
all. They packed up everything nice and neat and shipped it to me. So about a week after I left, I got a whole bunch of boxes of stuff from my desk and my laptop, my pictures, all that kind of stuff. They shipped out to me.
Well, how were the guys when this happened? Like Elvis and those guys, like, I mean, they were they honestly shocked, or you think they knew? I mean,
I guess I don't know, because what they did is they assembled all of them in a conference room and locked them in, so nobody could talk to me. It was the weirdest thing in the world, Joanne.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't know whether they were afraid that there would be emotional feelings, because some of us had been together for a long time. Elvis and I
had
been together for quite a while. And Danielle and I had been there for several, many years. So I don't know. The powers that be assumed that the best way to handle it was to cut it clean and to separate the other members of the show from what was going on. So I'm not even sure they knew what was going on in the other room where I was being retired until after I was gone. So it was hard to know.
Well, you remained close with a few, I'm sure.
Yeah, I stayed very close with Danielle. Danielle and I had been very close from the beginning, because she started there as a summer intern.
I remember.
For me.
Right.
Yeah, and I persuaded management to give her a chance on the air, and she made it. She did a great job, and she's still there, done a magnificent job with the station. So, you know, it was, and I kept the friendship with Greg T and with Skiri. I've talked to Elvis only once or twice in the 10 years since then.
Mm.
I don't know that there's anybody else on there that I've stayed in touch with, but I have, you know, I stay in touch with all of the fans. It's amazing how many people from Z100 still are on Facebook, and they're my Facebook friends. I have about 5,000 of them on Facebook. So I can keep in touch with the people that I knew best during the showtime.
Yeah, because I don't know, you do recall, you know, Z100, when they were first starting out, I mean, they threw some major promotional concerts. I mean, some great acts at the time, you know, it was the 80s, you know, so, well, no, it was the 90s, I'm sorry, forgive me. Right? 90s,
no, it was
right?
The 80s. We started in 83.
It was, right, okay, it was the 80s. Okay, I remember, because I remember, oh, God, yeah, you guys were supposedly in the top of the Empire State Building, and and I worked across the street, not across the street, across the water, right across the water. And one day I saw a fleet coming in. It wasn't Fleet Week or anything. I mean, I'm telling you, when I saw all these military ships coming in, and it wasn't anything going on or anything, and I called up. And the only reason I called up was I had a very good relationship with Elvis and Kid, Pat Kelly.
Yeah,
that's what I said. I mean, Elvis wouldn't recognize me from Adam right now. I mean, I haven't seen him in years anyway, or Pat. So, but I was closer to Pat. But what was I going to say? I called up and I said, hey, do you guys know what's going on? There's a bunch of military coming down going on, and they hung up on me, and I'm like, what the hell?
Really?
It's like, to say we don't know. And then that's when I realized that they weren't in the Empire State Building.
No, at that point we may have still been in Secaucus, New Jersey.
Yes, you were, and I didn't know it. No, that was before I became friends with Pat. Right. Yes, because I didn't know that at the time. That's right. Yeah. Have you talked to him? Do you talk to him at all?
Who's
Pat,
that? Kid
Kelly. Kid Kelly, yeah.
No, I have. Once in a while on Facebook I've come across Kid, but we haven't stayed in touch. I've stayed in touch with, do you remember we had a character named Mr. Leonard?
Oh, yeah.
On
Mr.
the show?
Leonard. I can't do it.
Yeah.
It's too high for me now. I can't do it. Oh, God, who was that? Who was Mr. Leonard?
That was a guy named John Carillo. He was a Mexican kid who had been doing radio for several years before we signed on the morning show. And he was working in, I think at the time, in Houston. But he started doing a call-in with us every morning. And we came up with the idea that he was never going to show up at work, and that he would call every morning with an excuse. And that began the development of the character. He became one of the most popular characters on Z100.
I remember.
In the 80s and early 90s.
Hello, Mr. Leonard. Yep. I can't do it. Too high. It's way too high.
Yeah, he and I have stayed. We're good friends. We talk often. We used to write comedy together and a bunch of things. So we've had a great friendship.
Did you write any of the songs that they used to play?
I may have participated in writing some of them, but most of that was done. We had a guy named J.R. Nelson who was our producer and who handled most of the technical work and stuff at the station.
Yeah.
And he participated. We had a group. We called ourselves a New Wave Garage Band. And we used to get together in a room and come up with these songs on the spur of the moment. And we could put together a song and put it on the air in 15, 20 minutes.
So we were
doing a lot of that kind of stuff.
And it was some crazy stuff. It was just so much fun. And I don't think there's anything like that anymore. Well, I mean, ever since Sirius came along, I listen to Sirius and I barely drive anymore. And that would be the only time I would listen to music was in the car.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so I just don't listen to the radio station, sadly. And like I said, it's nothing personal with Z100, but I mean, I just don't listen to any state. If I'm going to listen to music in the car, it's going to be my Sirius radio. Go ahead, Anna. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say that's not just you. A lot of people have made that change in their lives. Now with the cars and they have Sirius in the car, you can even get it in your home now if you want to. And there's so many more choices available to what you can listen to. It's kind of cut into some of the regular radio shows.
Yeah. Oh my God. I got to ask you this out of curiosity, not that it has anything to do with you, but what did you think when they shut down PLJ? I was like stunned.
Couldn't believe it.
Stunned is not even the word. We had the most fun
in the very beginning when we first signed on. PLJ was our number one competition.
No, I know.
And I mean, we had so much fun teasing them, playing jokes on them, criticizing them. It was a real competition. It was never really mean-spirited, but
it got to be so much fun.
Yeah, it
right.
was competition.
Right.
And when we went to number one in the market, PLJ chased us for the next several years trying to get on. We would play tricks on each other. It was a fun kind of thing. They would come over and put PLJ stickers all around the cars in Secaucus where the station was. We did the same thing. Our guys would go over to New York and put bumper stickers around and put up posters, whatever we could to tease one another. It was fun.
Right.
You know, radio in the 80s and early 90s was a lot more fun than most people may have realized. We were having a great time.
Oh, and there was always events. You guys always had different kinds of events and free for everybody who joined. I mean, I can't even tell you how many I went on. I mean, PLJ, too, they did the same thing. They did some crazy events, too.
Yeah, that was a big time in radio. But one of the problems was that radio station ownership was willing to spend money in those days.
Yeah.
Now, you know, the budgets are very tight. But Z100 used to run. We had a Jingle Ball concert every Christmas.
Yeah.
We had a concert every summer that we ran. We ran concerts all the time. And I mean the biggest names, biggest stars, everybody. You know, I got to meet Michael Jackson and all of any band that was hot at that time was going to be on Z100. So,
yeah, I remember a couple events I attended was, pick me for the Private Poison Pizza Party. You remember that one?
Oh, yeah, I remember them.
Then another one was Billy Idol over at Roseland. There was a bunch of bands at that one. That was nice. That was very intimate. I liked that one. Oh, my God, I went to a lot of them. It was such a fun time. Like you said, radio was just a fun time at the time. And you know, the music's changed, and we've changed. We've gotten older, so, you know.
Yeah, of course.
you know, life changes. But so now after Z100, what did you go on to do? Are you retired now? What are we doing?
I'm retired, but I did. I used to drive in New York. I live in New Jersey now, and I used to drive in New York.
Are you originally from Jersey, John?
Yeah, I'm originally from Jersey City.
Wow, didn't know that.
Yeah, and I moved down to Hillsboro, 20 years ago, I guess. But,
That's a ride.
I've gone into the city several times to do Scott Shannon's oldies show. He has a show on CBS in the morning.
Is he still on CBS? I don't mean to be ignorant. I just don't listen to the radio.
I think so. And I've done his show a few times. And then I have a lot of call-ins, you know, guys that are still busy doing their shows will call me and ask me to, like John Lander up in, I think he's in Boston.
I haven't heard his name in a long time.
Yes. So some of those guys will call me every once in a while and say, John, could you, you know, do a call-in and talk with us for a half hour or so? And
nice.
I've done that. And I must have done, you're on Blog Talk Radio, I must have done 100 Blog Talk Radio shows.
Wow.
Because I have several friends who do Blog Talk Radio, and they enjoy it, and some of them have some great audiences. So whenever I can help a friend out by doing it.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun, you know. Have you ever thought about doing a book, John, about your life in the industry?
Joanne, I can't tell you how many times I've been asked that question.
Well, you should. My God, your experiences are something people want to read about, your experiences.
Well, that's what I've always wondered, whether or not. You know, it's funny, when you're living it, and I'm sure you know this from personal experience, it becomes kind of run-of-the-mill. It's what you do. You get up every morning, you do what you're doing, and you make friends, you meet people, you do things. But you never think of it in terms of it being important to anybody but you and maybe 10 of your friends. So I've always had the notion that there wouldn't be that much to say. When I think about it now, I realize that was there was a period in radio from the early 80s to about the mid 90s that was just an incredible explosion of great radio. It wasn't just Z100. You know, there were great radio stations all over the country.
Yep.
And there were great jocks doing shows. Some people are still in the business. So at that point, it was a kind of the golden years of radio.
Right.
And, you know, when I realized that I experienced all of that and that I met so many of the people who were big stars during that time and so many of the bands and the individual performers, you know, I met Madonna before anybody knew who Madonna was. We had her on our show.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with Whitney Houston and, you know, people like that who became huge stars over time.
Right,
I remember meeting Michael Jackson backstage at the Garden, one of our Jingle Ball shows. So it was there were a lot of great moments that I could recount in a book, so I probably should do something like
you
that.
You should. Definitely should. So you're retired down in Hillsboro, New Jersey. What are you doing? You're riding horses? What are you doing?
No. I've become very active in my church. I even preach once in a while. They invite me to come in and talk to the congregation, and I do that. And I do a Say No to Drugs program. I go out to high schools and grammar schools and as part of an organization called the Substance Abuse Alliance.
Nice.
And they take me out to these schools to talk to the kids about staying off alcohol and drugs. And I can recount to them a lot of the stories about some of the people in showbiz who got hung up on drugs and, you know, didn't fare very well, so I do that quite. In fact, I did one 2 weeks ago, and then I do a lot of speaking, you know, with groups who will invite me to come out and talk with them. So it keeps me busy, you know, as busy as I want to be.
Good,
I was smart. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. When I was at the height of my career in radio, I was in radio altogether about 45 years. And the but the 28 years at Z100 was when I was making the most money. And I was, well, you know, I started at Z100. I was already 40 years old. So
well, 40-something. I'm, you're probably going to say you feel the same way, but I felt that they maybe thought that you were too old to, not that you were old, you know, for your age, but maybe for their
right.
listening group. Maybe they thought maybe.
That's what they did. That was always a part of it. I
and
worked
it wasn't that you
I
were
seven.
Old. Your voice is just very mature. Your voice is always just always. I mean, listen, you sound exactly the same. And, you know, you are, what, 20 years older? And
I'm 86 now.
Wow. Wow. And you sound exactly like you did when you were 40. So look
well,
at that.
That was part of it. I remember once we were at, I think it was a jingle ball. And I had some friends out in the audience, so I came from backstage and I went out to see my friends, and a bunch of the people who had come to the show saw me, and must have been 10 or 20 young, mostly young girls who
yeah.
lined up to get my autograph. And I'm signing autographs and then kidding around with the kids and all of that, and my boss is standing there. And he says, John, why do you think these kids like you? You know, you're so much older than they are. And the last girl in the line comes up and she says, I signed the thing for her. She said, oh, John, you're so cool. I wish my father was as cool as you are. So that was it. The kids looked up to me. I remember we had a call once from a father who said, and this was live on the air. He said to Elvis, he said, Elvis, I wasn't going to let my daughter listen to Z100. She's 14. And he said, but I've listened for a couple of weeks to see what it was all about. And I told her, she can listen, but only pay attention when John Bell is talking.
Oh.
So I had some parents who were on my side, too.
Yeah.
So
well, that's right, Vic. Your,
you know,
your voice was so distinct from theirs, where you did sound like you were being the nurturing one out of the crowd of the DJs that were on air with you. You know, so you kind of broke up what was going on. You played the adult, I guess, is what I'm
yeah,
trying to
say. I was the adult. Sometimes they'd call me the professor and the voice of reason and all that kind of stuff. But, I was the adult in the room. And whenever it got too crazy, I would kind of bring it back down to, you know, closer to normal.
Right.
And if there was an interesting question to talk about, I was always the one who had the most information about it and could explain what it was about or whatever the case was. So I had a place there, too, was that after a while, my voice became what they call an identifier. You could be switching around the dial, and if you heard me, you knew you were on Z100.
Right.
And that's a very valuable thing for a radio station to have.
Right.
Because you know how the kids were, especially in those days. They'd flip around the dial. If a song came on they didn't like, they'd flip to another station.
Yeah.
So flipping the dial was a big deal. And having an identifying voice, a voice that everybody recognized, was great for the station because it reminded people of they were back on Z100.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of good reasons.
Yeah. No, pardon me. The one thing that pissed me off the most, well, other than you being let go for no reason whatsoever, was I missed the horoscopes because you did all the horoscopes. And they never did them again that I can recall. Unless they did it when I stopped listening, you know, years later, I don't think they've done the horoscopes ever again. Have they? Do you know?
They may not. I don't really listen regularly anymore, so I don't really know. I'm the same as you.
Know.
I listen to satellite radio all the time.
Yeah.
I
don't know the last time I listened to radio. I really don't. And yet I hate myself for it because I like to stay current. But to be quite honest, I don't care for this shit. Sorry. I just don't like it. I just don't like it.
Yeah.
It just kills me.
It's a matter
of
taste. A lot of people have done that.
Yeah, the industry is usually cyclical musically, but we're not getting out of it. You know, we're not nothing's moving, you know, we're not moving.
Yeah, that's,
it's like
that's,
we're stuck.
That can be a problem. That's what was going on in radio when Z100 came on the air in 83. The airways have gotten kind of stagnant, and people were doing the same thing over and over again, the same people. And we were the first ones to come into New York with what is called ensemble radio. There were partner shows on the air, two people, but we had five. So there were, you know, Claire Stevens was doing the news,
yeah,
and then Ross Britton came on,
mm-hmm.
and Ross and Scott would be the two main voices, and then there was Mr. Leonard, the character, and Claire Stevens, and then myself, and then you know, so that we added a lot of variety to the show. And what we discovered after a while is that each of us had our own fan base.
Right.
So there were people who tuned in because they loved to hear Scott. There were people who tuned in because they liked me. There were people who tuned in because they were they liked the Claire doing the news or whatever the case may be. And we had a lot of character participants in the show. So each of us had our own fan base, and when you added it all up together, that made us number one in the market. You know, so it's very difficult for a one or two person show to carry that kind of an audience.
Right, right. And you guys did it for a long time. Well, it's still going.
Oh,
it's still going. But
it is
still
going. Yeah.
But it's different now. I mean, when I do, when I did tune in, it just wasn't the same. I mean, you know, they've got the prank calls and all that, but it was just so much more fun back in the 80s when the show started. It was just, for me anyway, for me. So.
Well, Joanne, I think part of it is that there is a limit to any kind of success unless you build in change. If you don't include something new, if you don't move into some new territories and keep up with your audience, because in radio, you know, in the time that I was in radio from, actually I was in radio for 45 years altogether.
Yeah. Where were you before Z100?
Well, I was at WVNJ, a radio station in New York and New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
I was at, what was the old, music radio station? For a while, I was there for a while. So when I came to Z100, I had already been in radio for about 10 years.
Mm.
And what I had noticed was that radio was getting stale. It was the same voices, the same ideas, the same thing. When we came in with ensemble radio, then there were four or five different voices on the show, and then we had a lot of stupid stuff going. Like I did a feature called Stupid News every morning, and I would have a bunch of crazy stories that I would tell about, you know, the guy who was stopped by the police for speeding, and he said it just came from the car wash, and he's trying to dry off his car.
Yeah.
Mm. So it was things like that. You know, we did the horoscopes. We had contests galore.
Oh,
you could always
yes.
win something. We were always running contests.
Yeah, constantly.
Yeah, and all of that appealed to our audience. So, but after a while, they get kind of used to it. It becomes kind of tone deaf. They've heard it a thousand times. And it's hard to think of a new contest. Radio has done contests for so many years. To come up with something new is almost impossible.
Right.
So after a while, people start to get bored with hearing the same kinds of things over and over again. And that's why they move on. And I think that played a part in my leaving Z100. I had been there for almost 30 years. So it was likely that my audience was, at the time I left, think about it, my audience that had started when they were 14 were now in their 40s.
Right.
You know, so it was really time for me to move on. I had offered to retire 3 years before they retired me. I had gone in and said, look, guys, it's been a great run, and, you know, but I'm ready to go. And they said, well, wait, John, we had just moved into New York. We had been in New Jersey for most of our career. We moved into New York, and the management people said to me, wait, because, you know, we're making this move. We don't know how it's going to go. you know, stick with us another year or so we can, you know, till we get back on our feet. And I said, okay, you know, but I wasn't happy about commuting into New York every morning.
No,
so,
from Hillsborough,
but I
no.
Did for, I did yeah. for the 3 more years. The only problem, Joanne, the only problem I have with the whole thing is that if you've had a relation with somebody for almost 30 years, you don't just walk away. You
right.
sit down and you say, look, you know, John, we loved you. We had a great time together. You know, we've set some records and done some beautiful things. But it really is now. And I was 75 years old. It was time for me to go.
Right. And that, but it was just pretty shitty the way it went down. You know, that's
it
just
was,
ridiculous.
That's,
yeah.
That's
and honestly,
corporate America for you.
John, I don't think they said anything about you. I mean, I can't even tell you how many news channels I've watched where, you know, religiously you're watching the same anchors, if you want to call them anchors, whoever, reporters, every day,
right.
and then
right.
suddenly they're gone, and they don't even say,
yeah.
oh, well, such and such went over to station, like Fox 5, Channel 5, you're on the East Coast, Channel 5 News, not Fox Cable. Channel 5 News in the morning with
right.
Rosanna and all those guys. I would watch
yeah.
that when I was getting ready in the morning. Not that I even would watch it. I was listening, you know, getting ready. And there
yeah,
was a
sure.
woman on there. I can't recall her name. I liked her a lot. One day she's gone. Never see her again. They never mentioned anything. And they've done it again. They did it again after that. I haven't watched Fox Channel 5 in quite some time. But all of a sudden she was gone, and I read an article that she was over at New York One. You probably know who I'm talking about, a female. Oh, God. I should know her name because I watched it every day. But not once did they say where she went, and it always made me think of you. Every time somebody would be let go and they never announced it, it always reminded me of, God, yeah, they never told us where John went either, you know?
That was the way it was. Now, one of the other things that happened, you know, that very few people know, is that I had left C100. I was gone maybe 4 or 5 days when I get a phone call. It was from WCBS in New York, the show that Shannon is doing now.
Yeah, yeah.
They called me and said, would you be willing to come and do a morning show for us?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, really? I said, I'll come into New York and talk to you about it. So I went into the city the next day, and I sat down with them. And they had no show, no idea. What they hoped was that they could play on my name for a while because I still had a great, you know, recognition in New York.
Mm-hmm.
So the deal was this. It was going to be a low-budget show. I was going to have to find my own cast. Like 3 or 4 people that they wanted an ensemble show. They wanted to go against Z100. They wanted to take on Z100. So I would have to recruit my own staff. The salary was going to be very low because by the time you divided up the amount of money that they were able to invest in the show and spend it on 4 or 5 people plus a production staff and engineers and all the other things that you would
coming
need.
Coming up with content.
It was going to be a startup thing. And I told the guys, look, guys, if I was 25, I'd be all over this.
Mm.
I'd take a chance with you. I'd help build the radio station. You know, I'd spend the next 5 or 6 years developing an audience and a following for you. But I am 75 years old.
Right.
I don't want to work 5 more years just building up a radio station from scratch, you know.
Yeah. Did you ever do stand-up, John? Were you ever a stand-up comedian or no?
No, I never did stand-up. John Rio, the guy who used to do Mr. Leonard, did stand-up, and he was great. And I used to write for him. I wrote most of the Mr. Leonard routines and things.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, yeah. We were buddies. After the show was over, I'd go to his house or we'd go out someplace and we'd sit and write for what we were going to do the next day.
This is Mr. Leonard. Oh, I wish I could get my voice that high.
We were invited, John and I were invited to an album production studio in Tampa, Florida.
Mm.
And we went down to meet with these people, and they said to us they wanted to put out a comedy album with for the two of us. And we said, well, we were interested. What's the deal? The deal was we would write the comedy, they would record it, and they would do all the album stuff. But then they said to us, and we were both still working at Z100, they said, but you got to get permission from Z100 to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And because they could put the kibosh on the whole thing if we didn't. So we call up the radio station, and when they put one of the lawyers on the phone, and they said, well, we've talked about it. We think we could do it, but we would want approval of the album cover. We would want a percentage of whatever you guys make.
Wow.
And, yes.
Wow.
And you cannot make any references to Z100, you know, in the process, because it's not a Z100 operation. It's just you and John Real. So we sat down and we talked about it. We realized that we were going to spend months doing all the work, doing all the recordings.
And them getting the money.
And Z100 was going to get most of the money.
Wait, now, so you had to give them the money, but you couldn't mention them. That's really jacked.
Yes, because they were giving us permission. We were still under contract to them, and that's how it works. When
right.
you're in the, like, for example, they had a non-compete clause with all of us. When I left that station, it was against the, I could have lost a lot of money if I had gone to another station right away in the New York market.
Right.
You are excluded from competing against the station that you were employed by for all that time. So if I had wanted to stay in radio, and I didn't really at 75, I would have had to leave town. I could not do a radio show in the New York metropolitan area, which made it, you know, really ridiculous. So it just didn't make any sense to me. And that would have been a problem if I had accepted the deal at CBS.
Right.
Because I had a non-compete. He said, well, we'll challenge it with the... Yeah, and I said, by the time we spend the money fighting it in court, we won't have enough money to do the show. There were a lot of reasons it didn't happen.
Yeah.
But that's radio, you know.
Yeah.
And I was disappointed, but I wasn't surprised.
Right.
Because that's the way I had seen so many of my friends in radio all over the country go through the same thing. I've had people who came to work and their keys didn't fit the door.
Wow.
Where their lockers were locked up, so they couldn't even get into the locker.
Right.
They were
right.
Z100 used to ban you from the radio station. Once you left, whether it was voluntary or not, you were not allowed to come back to the radio station for any reason. And if you were still on the air at Z100, while I was still on Z100 Morning Show, John Rio, the man who was doing Mr. Leonard, left the show. They caught me one day on the phone talking to him.
And you couldn't
do that
either.
I was called into the manager's office and said, he's no longer a Z100 employee. Why are you discussing things with him? And I said, we're just friends. We're not talking about the show. We're talking about, you know, getting together for dinner when you're in town, that kind of thing. Well, we frown on keeping relationships going with people who are former employees. Unbelievable.
I guess it's, like you said, the competition thing, stealing things from each other or whatever, ideas, and, you know,
exactly.
I don't know. But you can't tell somebody who they can be friends with. But anyway, I got to ask this. Now, in the umpteen years that you've been in the radio industry, do you prefer talking, or do you like spinning records, or... You really never did spin records. You were more of a talking guy. I mean, what's your thing?
Oh, I was always into talk radio. The music was very unimportant to me. And you realize, as I said, I was in my 40s when I came to Z100. So I wasn't a big fan of pop music, you know. And I would take my headphones off when the music came on when I was in the studio.
Oh, that's funny.
So the part of radio that always appealed to me, before I came to Z100, I was at WVNJ, and I was doing a show called The Morning Magazine. That's where Z100 found me. I was doing The Morning Magazine. We were on from 5 in the morning until 10 in the morning, 5 hours. And it was a basically talk show, interview show. We'd have special guests come in, and we had a little music that we played you know, in between guests and things of that sort. And we do the news and weather and all of the time and temperature kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
But it was basically a talk show. I worked at, oh, I remember the other, I worked at WPAT. I don't know whether you remember
that
station.
Oh, God, PAT. Was that the jazz station?
It was a beautiful music station, they called it.
Yeah, I remember. I remember the call letters. That's what I'm thinking, yes.
Yes, and it was all taped music. Mm. It was the most boring job I ever had, Joanne, because we had these huge 12-inch tapes that would play the music, and all the jock did was that maybe twice, three times in an hour, you'd come on and say, it's 6 o'clock here at WPAT,
right.
And you
right.
do time and temp. You know,
right, right.
It's 79 degrees here in New York City.
Right.
That kind of stuff.
Yeah, it was a very mellow. It was a very mellow station. Yes, it was.
Yes. Then you'd play 20 minutes of music, and then you'd come on again, and, you know, you'd do a minute and a half, and then 20 minutes of music. So out of an hour, you might talk for 4 minutes, and the rest of the time, you're just racking music on a reel-to-reel, you know, and playing tape to music.
So what did, wait, I got to ask this. If not you personally, what did most DJs do during the time when that's when you're on a station like that, where you just were, you know, playing the songs and speaking for a minute and just giving time?
I would bring books. I would bring games to play, anything.
Oh my goodness.
And a couple of times I fell asleep because
I'm sitting there
and I'm so bored.
That would happen to me.
I dozed off to hear the last of a song, and I'd be running like crazy to to get the next reel up so that there would be no break in the music. One time I had to go to the bathroom, and I go to the bathroom, and I didn't realize that I had locked the studio door behind me. When it closed, it locked.
Mm.
I had to go and climb in a window and then run down the hall at top speed to get into the studio before I went off the air. It was crazy. But while I was there, I did get a chance to do, when I was at WPAT, I did get a chance to do a show on Saturday and Sunday nights from 8 to midnight. And it was a telephone talk show. And I loved it.
Mm.
It was just people calling in, and you'd sit with them and chat and ask questions and get into discussions and all of that. And that was a lot of fun. That's how I really got started in radio.
Why don't you do your own blog talk?
But my friends tell me, everybody who has tried it says it's a lot of work. How many shows a week do you do?
You could do as many as you want.
You can do one or you can do seven.
Yeah, well, I do them as my guests come. I mean, and they want to be on the show, so I do sometimes three times a week. Sometimes I do three shows a week. So I mean, I slowed it down a little bit because I needed to. I needed some wind down time, and I'm actually going to take some time off next month and just, I need to gather myself, you know. It's just been a lot going on, you know, because I do this for fun, John, and I'm having a blast.
Yeah.
I mean, I never in a million years would have thought I would be the person interviewing people. I've been interviewed myself on shows. I was a musician back in the day, and I did several shows, played live on air, whatever, you know.
Right.
Not Z100. But anyway, I tried. Anyway, I did a lot, especially a lot in Jersey. I can't remember the names of them. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I can't remember the names of them.
There were a lot of local stations.
Yeah, but I never in a million years thought I would be the one asking questions. And it was just something that I felt like I wanted to try, and I'm having a ball doing it. I'm meeting wonderful people, such as yourself, obviously, and you know, and just having a great time hanging out, talking to people. It's been wonderful. And I think I'm actually approaching my second year anniversary, I think, in the summer, or third year.
Wow.
I don't know. But anyway, I'm having fun. You should do it. It's not hard to do at all. Listen, I and all my listeners know, the world knows, whoever is living knows that I know shit from Shiola when it comes to computers, okay? So if I can do this, anybody can do it. And it's so easy, folks. I have said it so many times to people on the show. If you want something to do, it's a lot of fun. Check it out. Do it yourself. And, I mean, it's just so easy.
So, you know,
I
did do it for – I had a good friend, I still have a good friend, who has who is on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
And she has done – she's been on for like 10 years or more.
Oh, wow.
And every once in a while, it was a period of time when she got very sick. She's been very sick recently and doesn't do the show anymore. Mm. But there was a period of time when she got sick, and maybe for 3 months I filled in for her. I did the show for 3 months.
Yeah.
But she was on every day. And it got to be, you know, arranging for guests and making setting aside the time. It can be a lot of work. Especially
well, it is a lot of work, yeah, but it's fun. For me, it's fun. That's why I said I need to take a step because I've been, like you said, I'm dealing with bookings and and plus I work full time during the day.
Yeah,
I have a gig. I have a gig during the day. I work all day, finish up, do what I got to do with the family, and then that's when I work on the show. And most of the people I deal with are in L.A. So it works out well.
Yeah.
I can call them.
So time-wise, and, yeah.
Right. So, but I said, I need a break. I need a break. So I definitely, and I'm not the same person I was before I started the show, too. I was in a car accident. It jacked my body.
Oh,
I'm just,
no.
You know, yeah, it sucks. But, I mean, I'm doing it. I got to do what I got to do. But it sucks. I'm not going to lie. So, but really, I'm just having a blast. We're having a good time. People love the show, which is great. So, it just
and it's
happened.
Worth doing if you're getting enjoyment out of it. I've toyed with the idea, and I was talking to my friend who just discontinued her show, and I said, I'm thinking about it. And she said, well, just remember, John, it's a lot of work. And once you commit, you don't want to, you know, do it half-hearted. You want to be sure you really work at it. And
right.
I know that's how I would do it. You know, if I was going to be on, I'd want to do it.
Yeah.
On a regular basis. So it's not something I've marked off for good. I may decide to give it a try.
You would definitely have a great show and have a big following. People still like you and love you and would tune in for sure. For sure.
Yeah, I have a big following on Facebook and on Twitter and Instagram and a couple of other places.
Right.
Yeah,
well,
so it's not something I've precluded. It's something that I might want to do.
It's either that or a book. You got to do one of the two. You got to
get both of those things. Serious thought.
You either got to tell us your story now or tell us later in a book. So either do the show or write a book. So because you are missed. I miss you. And I've missed you over the years. And when I saw you on Facebook, I said, I got to get him on a damn show because I got to ask that question. I had to ask you what the hell happened.
What
because,
happened?
Like I said, I still to this day never heard, oh, well, you know, we're going to miss John, but he went on to, or he moved, or, you know, he went to another show. But they'll never say you went to another show because then you'd be giving out an advertising for somebody else. But something would have
been
nice.
That's the question I get asked most often. As soon as I meet someone who remembers those days, they'll say, John, what happened? All of a sudden, you were just gone.
Yeah.
And I explained to them what happened.
I mean, I understand how the industry works. You know, obviously, they don't want you. They don't want you anymore. But tell people something. You don't leave.
Yeah,
you know
there's no harm in letting people know. But see, they had such a problem after I left, Joanne.
I bet there was a lot of complaints. Was there a lot of complaints?
Oh. I called.
Oh, my God, John. Oh, my God. I did call. Oh, my God. I called. I said, what happened to John Bell? Oh, well, he went away for a little while. We'll let you know if he's coming back. Oh, my God. I can't believe I just remembered that. Oh, wow.
Yeah, they got so many calls. They stopped answering the phones for a while. And then I got a call from the lawyer from Z100 asking me if I was putting people up to calling the station and writing to the station and criticizing them. And I said, of course not. Why would I,
oh my.
You know, I don't. I'm not that kind of a person. I wouldn't do that. I wasn't
right.
even aware it was going on. But yeah, for about 2 or 3
wow.
months, they were
wow.
They were bombarded with stuff.
But I can't
more than I would have ever. I didn't
that.
Think it was that important that I was gone.
But right, people, but why would they blame you? Why would you say, oh, everybody call up Z100 and tell them they suck because they let them go?
Well, that's
I mean,
what
come
they
on.
Thought I was doing.
Right.
They
Hello?
Literally thought I was doing.
I mean,
it
who would
weird.
Do that? Who would do that?
Nobody
other than Trump.
That I know.
Trump.
Of.
Trump would do that. Trump would do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's about it. That's
yeah.
about it.
An asshole would do that.
But no, there was no reason in the world for me to criticize the station. I had a good run there. I wasn't going to put them down. I've never said a bad word about Z100.
Right.
If people
right.
ask me, I tell them the truth about how it happened. But I don't call anybody names. I don't. Do anything to injure the station management in any way, you know.
Is Pullman still there?
No, I think Pullman's gone now.
Pullman was there at the beginning, sure. right?
Well, not at the very beginning, but he was there probably the longest. Well, Steve Kingston was there for
Kingston,
well, in the
yeah,
very beginning.
Yeah.
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 In the very beginning. And then there
right.
were a couple of interim guys that lasted a short time. And then Pullman came. He lasted the longest. But I think I've read in the paper or something that he has moved on to iHeartRadio or something like that.
Oh, yes. Right. Wow. Well, you know what? It's a huge industry, but very small to some degree, family-wise, because you all know each other. And,
oh, yes.
You know, do they ever do, have you ever heard that if they've ever done like a DJ reunion
Z100
barbecue?
Hasn't done it. CBS, Scott Shannon did it at CBS. He's had, and
mm-hmm.
I went to both of them. And now mm. I've heard, not heard, I participated in, there is supposed to be a Z100 documentary movie coming out.
Really?
That was filmed last year, early last year, before the pandemic hit, because I had to go into New York and I spent almost a whole day in there being taped and filmed for what they indicated is going to. They only want to record the first 3 years, the rise of Z100, the first 3 years. So I went over to New York and Ross Britton was there and. Claire Stevens was there, and several other people from the early days of the show, some of the salespeople and stuff, and
oh,
that was a nice
good.
Little thing.
Yeah.
And we did the documentary is supposed to be coming out sometime this year, I understand.
Why they only do the first 3 years?
Because they were only interested in, you know, it was the rise of Z100. We went, remember we had the campaign Worst to First?
Yes.
We were the... When I signed on...
When you first
when we
went on the air,
years.
That was the
yes.
campaign. We're going from
exactly.
worst to first. Right.
And
yeah,
that's really what they wanted to cover. It took us
and
76 days, and we were number one
yep,
in the market.
Yeah.
But those first 3 years, we were incredible. Well, we were great until the early 90s. But
yeah.
The 83 through 90, 95 were great years at Z100. So they were only covering... 83, 84, and 85. That's also the time that Scott was there.
Right.
You know, Scott Shannon left and went to Pirate Radio in L.A.
Right.
And then
right,
it was
Scott
Ross
was
Britton.
The original. Scott was the original Z Morning Zoo.
Yes, he brought
right.
the idea to New York, and he set up the he hired all of us. He set up the original crew.
Right.
And the format and the kind of music we would be playing and all of that. So he was kind of the founder of Z100.
Mm.
And I think that's all they're interested in is the beginning.
Maybe it's a Scott a retrospective.
Maybe
what? Maybe it's about Scott. Maybe they're talking about Scott. Maybe there's more
no,
to
it's
it.
No, it's not just Scott. It's really about Z100.
Oh,
because
in
Scott's had a
yeah.
long career in
I mean,
radio
in particular,
too.
Pardon me. Yeah. Oh, God, I
yeah.
know. He's been around forever, you know.
Yeah, he was big in Tampa Bay. Well, that's where he developed the Morning Zoo idea.
Right. Well, I followed him. I did follow him over to PLJ. I did when he went over.
Yeah, for
you know, when
while.
I heard he was at PLJ, I tried PLJ out at, and checked him out. And then when Todd came on, I don't know. I liked Todd, but I just felt like he was trying to outshine Scott a lot, you know.
They never really got along either.
It didn't seem like they did. It did, no. But it didn't, you know. I mean, to the layman ear, it seemed like fun. But somebody someone in the entertainment industry could tell it was a little fake. You know what I mean?
Todd was a younger guy, and he always thought that he was really better than Scott, that Scott's time was over and that he should move over and let Todd be the lead man. But that's never going to happen. Any radio show that Scott's on, he's going to be the lead character,
that's right.
Believe me.
That's right, right, right.
And he's
just
earned
like,
it. He's had a lifetime in radio.
That's right, just like Cousin Brucey. Cousin Brucey
owns
that era. Scott owns our era. I don't know who. Oh, I guess Elvis owns this era.
More than likely. There are a couple of other competitors, but nobody as big as C100, I think.
Yeah, so... Yeah, well, should I wish you a happy Father's Day or not?
Well, that's very nice. I would be pleased.
Oh, well, happy Father. I didn't know if you had children. I'm sorry. That's all I was asking.
Yeah, I have three of my own. I have five grandchildren, and have four great-grandchildren.
Man, no wonder you're in Hillsboro. You
got
to be on the farm out there with all those kids.
Well, they're all out in, most of the family is in Texas.
They need a bigger farm.
Just outside of Dallas. Yeah, they've got they got the bulk of them down there. All the grandchildren. Mm. No, I have two grandchildren up this way. One lives in New York and another one lives in Fort Lee.
Mm.
And then I've got nine down in Texas.
Wow. I have to ask you this, any of the kids, any of them grandchildren or your own great-grandchildren, I don't know how old they are, but any of them in the radio industry?
No. Well, I have one granddaughter who I thought might end up in radio because she had all the skills, all the talent, but she never really pursued it.
Mm.
And so, but the others all, most of them work in, one of my sons has a fragrance business in Texas, and several of the kids work for him.
Oh, nice.
But that's it. No, none of them went into show business or radio or TV or any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, John, I look forward to something, a book or whatever. I would love to, you know, hear about it if you're going to be doing something.
Oh, I'll let you know.
Yeah, that'd be fabulous. Well, you please stay in touch. Everybody, John B. Bell, Z100, the man, his name is synonymous with Z100. So, I mean, for you guys on the East Coast who remember Z100 back in the day when it first was starting out, and I was very excited at the time. It was a great station, and it was different. It definitely came on as different. So, look at it now. Wow. So, John, thank you so much. It was a pleasure getting to know you, and I
appreciate
it.
You're welcome, Joanne, and thank you for the invitation. I enjoyed chatting with you, and anytime I can pitch in and give you a couple of minutes, I'd be happy to.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Well, it was great meeting you too, hon. I'm really so glad we got to talk. So thank you so much, and I apologize for the technical difficulties.
No problem.
And you stay in touch, okay?
I certainly will, Joanne.
Take care,
and thanks again.
Bye-bye. Thank you. John
Bye-bye.
B. Bell, everybody. Thank you. Take care, John. I think we only have a few seconds left. Tomorrow is Father's Day. Happy Father's Day, folks. What do I got going? I don't think I have anything going on. I'm losing my voice. Sorry, I got a few seconds here. Maybe I'll do a music mashup because we've gotten a lot of great music from our guests that have been on. So, maybe we'll do that on Sunday night. monthly music mashup. It's been a while. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed our conversation tonight. It was a pleasure for me. I mean, I listened to John for quite some time, and like I said, when he went off when he went off the air, I stopped listening to the station. So, and I just found another one to listen to on my Walkman. So, and again, those who know me know that I really do use a Walkman. So take care, everybody. Have a good night. Happy Father's Day. Thank you, John Bell. And hopefully maybe we'll do some music tomorrow night. Take care. Bye-bye, everybody. Take care.